should hopefully get us started. There you go. So God bless, saints. We wanted to continue on this evening what we started looking at last week and just answer a few questions that have come along since last week. It should hopefully get us started. There, sorry, that's YouTube just kicked in. So I'm going to straight away share my screen here. Greetings to everybody this evening. Trust you've had a good week. So this is what we're looking at. We're continuing on with Gog, Magog, but this time in Armageddon. We're trying to just bring things down, trying to place current events. We know modern events are made clear by prophecy. That's the wonderful thing. And when it's a, when the spirit of prophecy is sent to every age, the spirit of prophecy is sent to identify the scriptures pertaining to that age. So when Peter stands on the day of Pentecost, filled with the spirit of truth, he can say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So no, the spirit of truth comes to point you to the scriptures for your day, both the scriptures pertaining to yourself and the scriptures pertaining to your age, the conditions of your age. So what do we see happening in the events that are taking place now? We see these are things that pertain to the age that we're living in, going right down to the end. And you know, with what's taking place, I think if there's anybody who's not learning a lot of lessons from this, I think we really need to get close to the Lord and ask for his help, because what's happening in Ukraine now can happen just about anywhere. You know, it's like it just shows the time, the season that we're living in. As the old man said when the Lord appeared to him and said to him, it's later than you think. You know, and I think these kind of things should wake us up to that. So let us open with a word of prayer, then we'll come into our study this evening. Father, once again, we look to you because we want to learn from you. Father, we know that in the wisdom and the understanding of man, there's nothing of any virtue, of any benefit. We know that one word from you is worth 1,000 from anybody, just as one day in your house is better than 1,000 anywhere else. So we pray for your wisdom, we pray for your grace, we pray for your unction, both for the speaker and for the hearers upon this evening, that Father, you would help us, that you would guide us and lead us, that you would help us to know what it is that we need to know. And Father, the most important thing, quicken our souls, speak deep inside of us, Lord, we'd pray. And Father, stir us up, Lord, we'd ask at this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. So we're going to be looking at Gog, Magog and Armageddon. We're trying to get down to that, obviously, with some questions we're trying to answer in the middle. I hope we'll get to that. If not, we'll have to spill it over by the grace of God till next week, if the Lord tarries. So this is looking at Watch Russia Part 2. This is the Time magazine cover that went around a lot on the internet. I don't know if Saints saw it, but it's really interesting. It's now just this evening been shown that it's not the real Time magazine, it's some graphic designer made it. But I thought it was very, very appropriate, because we'll see here Hitler, his eyes, and we see Putin's face. And then we see Hitler's mustache and we see Putin's head. And it says the return of history. You know, so to us as believers, that's very, very significant, because there's a link between Hitler and Putin. Yeah, you know, this is really a continuation. This is like the church ages go on, and we went from Luther and he handed the baton on to Wesley. Wesley went on, handed the baton on to the Pentecostal age. Pentecostals went on, handed the baton on to us. We have to finish the race. You're going to find the same thing in the political realm with the spirit of Antichrist, with the spirit of the last days. You're going to find that same spirit that was upon Hitler, that led him to invade other countries, that led him to commit genocide, that led him to, you know, do what no normal person would believe anybody would do in that day. You're going to find that that same spirit, men die, but spirits never die. The same anointing that was upon Hitler, you find that's the same anointing that's upon this man Putin and the system that he represents. And we get that obviously from our church age book. When Brother Branham, to those who don't know, Brother Branham, we have tracts about this. If you want to ask questions afterwards, we'll send you information. But in 1932, Brother Branham had seven visions, were shown seven visions, seven things to take place before the second coming of Christ. And you know, you can read all of them. But the third vision is the one you just want to have a look at here. It was in the realm of world politics, he says, which shows that there would be three great isms. So this was 1932. This is 7 years before the Second World War. This is just when Hitler's starting to rise up. Mussolini hasn't done much yet. Yeah, there's no, Russia's still a weak, pretty weak nation at that kind of a time. But he was shown that there'll be three great isms. The first one, fascism. There's Mussolini at the bottom. He was fascism, Italy. And we know that that spirit of fascism in him led him to go and invade a much weaker, helpless nation, Ethiopia and Africa. And he went and used the modern weapons and airplanes, and he went and bombed because he wanted to take territory and so forth. You know, so you find that spirit that's in fascism. Then Nazism. Now we know Hitler. There's Hitler. And we don't have to speak very, very much about him and his aspirations, how he claimed that in Czechoslovakia, in the lands bordering onto Germany and so forth, and Poland and Austria, that they were German people and he wanted to protect them and he wanted them to be part of the homeland. So he invaded sovereign nations where there was a German element of the population, and he ended up adding those countries now to the German homeland, the fatherland, which is exactly what we see Putin doing now. He says, no, we have our people, the Russian-speaking people, they've been neglected. All the lies that he's telling about what's happening in Ukraine, and he's using that as a pretext now to invade a sovereign country, a democratic country, to take portions, or maybe even the whole country if he can, and bring it under his sphere of influence once again. So exactly what Hitler did. Now, the interesting thing is that Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is a Jew, is Jewish. And the prime minister of Ukraine is Jewish as well. So for the first time in their country's history, they have two Jewish leaders. So you're not going to be surprised to find that the same spirit that was in Hitler that hated the Jews, hated Israel, you're not going to be surprised if that same spirit gets into a man in our age, he's going to come against anything like that as well. And as we saw last week with Gog and Magog, coming against the Jewish state in the end, Gog and Magog. But he says three great isms, fascism, Nazism, communism. But the first two would be swallowed up into the third. So with the end of the Second World War, there was no more Nazism, there was no more fascism, they were destroyed. But those demon powers, those spirits, those powers and principalities were gathered up now together into one power, which was communism. So you're going to find a lot of common elements of those two other systems, isms that had risen up before. You're going to see those things reincarnated now in this system, which we now call communism. So that's a very, very powerful thing. And when he speaks about this in the Church Age book, he says, and the voice in the vision that showed him this told him, watch Russia, keep your eye on the King of the North. Would be an interesting study to do the King of the North sometime. You'll find that in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, the King of the North and the King of the South and so forth. But watch Russia. Keep your eye on the King of the North. So obviously at that time, 1932, Russia wasn't a major player in the world. It was America. It was Britain, still had its empire. Yeah, but prophecy, as we were saying last week, is that prophecy is tomorrow's newspaper headlines. You know, when you read prophecy, and the wonderful thing we can do as believers, we can take everything through the lens of scripture. We can look at modern events now and we can understand it through prophetic truth, through revealed truth in the word. And the Bible says so that day will not take you unaware, because we are not children of the night, but we are children of the day. So we don't want these things just to pass us by without trying to seek the mind of God and trying to find out what is the significance of these modern events. What do they pertain to? What do they signify? What should they be saying to us? So that's what we desire to do, just in a simple form this evening by the grace of God. So here's a newspaper headline. You'll just see everyone's picking up on this theme. You know, some people call him Mad Vlad, and they call him all these different names in the newspapers, but there they've made him like Hitler once again. Yeah, and people are seeing this link now. They're seeing it right in the midst of so-called civilized Europe. You'll find somebody barbarically invading somebody else's country. I mean, it's just like it took the world by surprise, because people couldn't believe a nation now could do that right in the heart of Europe. Yet people shouldn't be so surprised, because just 75 years ago, Germany, the most educated just about of all the nations in those days, with all of its scientists and all of its development and so forth, it caused World War II. You know, so right in the midst of Europe, when that same anointing was upon Hitler, upon Nazism, it was then caught up into communism. So we see this link between the two of them. Now, I found a very interesting article. It was the other day, just going through my newsfeed. It was on BBC, a very good one of these good reporters from BBC who was in Moscow. I just wanted to read a little bit of it because I think it'll help us to get a good base. And I'm just calling this little section, "Surely He Wouldn't." So that's what we're having a look at. So here's the article. It's by Steve Rosenberg. It was 2 days ago. And the article was Ukraine invasion. Would Putin press the nuclear button? Now, I read it, and it was quite interesting how he builds his piece up. Now, listen to what he says. I'm quoting from this guy, Stephen Rosenberg. He says, "Let me begin with an admission. So many times I've thought Putin would never do this. Then he goes and does it." You know, so he says so many times in these last years with this man, you end up thinking, surely he'll never do that. And he ends up going and doing it. He says, for example, he had never annexed Crimea, surely, yet he did. Yeah? That's what he thought, Steve Rosenberg. He'll never annex Crimea. And then Putin did. And that was in 2014. We looked at it a bit last week. There it was. Obama was still president. Here went Putin, invaded Crimea, which was part of Ukraine. Just went and took it over, annexed it, made it part of Russia now. You know, so that was a shock. People didn't believe, hey, how can somebody just do something like this? Then Rosenberg says, I thought he'll never start a war in the Donbass. But he did. Now, there's Donetsk and there's Luhansk. And that's the part now that Russia's claiming for itself. You know, has grabbed this since 2014. This picture, this beautiful structure, I was there in 2011 and 2013 in Donetsk. Wonderful place, wonderful saints there. Such a great church. It was one of the highlights of the place I've ever been, was the times I spent with the saints there. That was their brand new airport that they built for the European Football Championships that were held there. They built a big new stadium. There was so much development in the city when I was there. The saints took us all around. And this is what that same airport looks like now. You'll see it's been totally destroyed, and that region's under warfare. And the saints there recently, just last week, there was shelling and bombing and just tremendously difficult time taking place there. Because that's where now Putin now invaded and took over this region, the purple region, Donbass, the Donetsk region there. And now he's taken that from Ukraine and said, okay, these are Russian-speaking people. We want them to be part of Russia. Exactly what Hitler did with Czechoslovakia. And that started the Second World War. You know, so you find such similarities in the way that they approach things, approaching things in a way that normal thinking people would never expect them to do these kind of things. So that was 2014. Then Steve Rosenberg says he'll never launch a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. But he has. And I read an article about 8,000 Jews, Israelis caught in Ukraine because no matter all the things, remember 2 weeks back, the Americans, they told the embassy staff to relocate. They told all their citizens to get out of Ukraine. The British did the same thing. Israel warned its people saying, get out of there now. But it couldn't sink into people that in a day like we're living now, that somebody could invade their neighbor in such a bloodthirsty way. So they never took the warning seriously. So when now the invasion came, look at all the thousands of people that have been caught there, because people just couldn't comprehend. Even as this BBC reporter says, he just can't understand. How can a man think like this? Surely he's not going to launch this invasion. Now, before this invasion, it was all, you know, surely he's going to, it's just saber rattling. That's the word they used. He's just trying to push his point to get concessions from the West and all those things. But then he'll de-escalate the situation. But he didn't. He went straight across the border, and you see what's taking place there now. It's getting worse and worse, and the fighting is getting more and more fierce as it comes closer and closer to Lviv and to Kiev and, you know, to the cities around there. It's so serious what's taking place. But it took people by surprise, just as much as Hitler took people by surprise, because it's very easy to be blindsided by evil. You know, to not recognize evil when you see it. These are spirits, these are powers, these are principalities that you're dealing with. This is not just flesh and blood issues. And what was it like we said last week? It wanted to destroy Israel, the Jews in the days of Daniel. It was the prince of the power of Persia. You know, the prince of Persia. That power, that principality, these demon forces that oversee nations and these demons, all of that wickedness in that realm, you know, fascism, Nazism got caught into communism. And here's the successor of Stalin now. Here's Putin. And you find out that same spirit is governing him. And look at the things that he's doing. So he thought he'll never launch a full-scale invasion, but he has. And there we see it. And we've seen all the headlines and the pictures. And you just watch it on the news. And we see what's happening with the believers fleeing to the West. And many in Mariupol and Maritopol, they're caught in their basements now. You know, it's such a tragic situation. Almost a million people having fled the country now. Right in our day. Right in our time, friends. It's got to mean something. So he continues on. He finishes off. He says, I've concluded that the phrase, would never do, doesn't apply to Vladimir Putin. And that raises an uncomfortable question. So now he's going to ask the real question. And this is the question that is really, really very uncomfortable at the moment. This is what's scaring a lot of people, making so many people uneasy, is he'd never press the nuclear button first, would he? That's the next question. Surely he wouldn't use nuclear weapons. You know, yeah, and but if you look at the history, like he says there, he says, I've concluded the phrase would never do this doesn't apply to Vladimir Putin. And that's what's got the world on edge now. I think those guys who do the doomsday clock telling you how close it is to midnight, I'm sure they're going to update the clock. I remember it was very close. It was 90 seconds to midnight the last time I looked, a couple of weeks back. But I'm sure they're going to move that doomsday clock quite a lot closer to midnight now with what's going on. But we don't just look at the outward saints. We look at the scripture. We look at the divine revelation behind these things. We look at the revealed truth of our day, the message of the hour. So we can know, okay, where are we? What's going to take place? Now, can this go all the way to a nuclear war, which is what the world is fearing? And so many people are very, very uneasy about this. They don't think it's going to finish in Ukraine. They think it's going to spill over into Europe. They think, you know, and now with all this pressure of these sanctions that's been put against Putin, now they've seized all of the Russian central bank's assets all around the world. So Putin, before this war, he thought he had it really planned well. With the oil money he was getting, when the price of oil was up, he put aside $320 billion, if you've been watching the news. And he put that and hid that away. You know, he stashed that away in the central bank in different accounts around the world so that he knew when I invade, they say for the last 2 years in the lockdown, when we've been praying and singing and seeking the Lord, he and his generals have been planning this invasion for the last 2 years. But he knew there were implications, sanctions were going to come. So he made sure he had sufficient reserves, 320 billion foreign reserves to tide them through the sanctions. But friends, I've been surprised with the response of the rest of the world. They passed laws very quickly and they blocked all of those accounts where Putin, where Russia, the central bank, invested that money, was storing that money. Not much of it was being stored in Russia. So when Putin thought now he had sufficient money to tide him through the sanctions, all of a sudden he cannot access that money. You've seen all these sanctions on these Russian banks, sanctions all these Russian oligarchs and so forth. It is hitting him hard. But this is like poking a bear with a stick through a cage. You better make sure that the bars of that cage are very thick, because you can only poke the bear one time before that bear starts wanting to come and have a bit of a chat with you about being poked. And that's what's happening with Putin. You can see he's going to get more and more desperate as these sanctions bite. I saw Apple and Google and all the big guys today, they said they're no longer selling their products in Russia. You know, so even for the common people, you see the ruble plunged 20% in a day, which means everything goes up in the country 20% in a day. All your prices, you just see everything, the pressure, the sanctions that have been brought to bear, it's going to build pressure big time inside of them. He has a man who's got almost half the nuclear warheads in the world at his disposal. You can understand why. And this is a man who, he'll never do it, doesn't apply to him. You know, he's a man who just acts first many times and thinks later. Look what he's gone and done. Doesn't think of the repercussions. That's why the BBC themselves are asking, surely he had never pressed the nuclear button first, would he? Which is a very, very good question. And he goes on to say, because it's not a theoretical question. Russia's leader has just put his country's nuclear forces on special alert. And you've seen that. Anyone has been watching the news. He put all of his nuclear arsenal on special alert. Everything is just not far away. If he needs to launch, he can launch. And there you saw it on the newspaper this week. World outrage as Putin makes nuclear threat. Mad Vlad goes nuclear. You can see that. Wow. No, this is serious. Imagine if Hitler had nuclear weapons. You know, you wouldn't be surprised for him to use them. And now, what's it going to take for this man to use them? Is he going to use these weapons? Now, what I saw from these things and about fascism and Nazism coming into communism, I'm taking it from a quote here. The world is in the spirit of the last days. You need people in the spirit of the last days. For the last days to be fulfilled, for there to be an Armageddon, for there to be a tribulation period, these people have to be anointed to bring about those things. Just as much as the bride is anointed, the believers are anointed to bring forth the fulfillment of the word in this age. You are anointed to bring forth the word in your day, your portion of the word. There's got to be on the Antichrist side. There's got to be on the other side, the negative side of things. There's got to be vessels that are yielded, that are anointed and filled with this evil anointing in the last days, which is going to bring things to Armageddon. And friends, it's so clear that Putin is such a candidate for that. He's not the only one, but he's the one that all focuses on now, and with good reason, because he's really in the spirit of the last days. He's really anointed for this. You can see that. Now, the prophet says it in preparations, you know, and it's a wonderful message because it's speaking about being prepared. Are you prepared? He says they are in the spirit of the last days, speaking of the world and, you know, the politics and so forth. He says, and God cannot send destruction before the people are in the spirit for destruction. Man always destroys himself. So in order for there to be a third world war, in order for there to be a nuclear holocaust, you've got to have people anointed that have the weapons and are prepared to use them. And now you find a real prime candidate just showing the next manifestation of that spirit that is in him just in this last week, much to our surprise, you know, just to the shock of the world. You find that there's a man that's really in the spirit of the last days. And friends, if he's in the spirit of the last days on his side of things, the Antichrist, what about you and I being in the spirit in the last days to really bring forth what Christ has ordained to be brought forth in this day? Now, Rosenberg says, surely he won't, but we can say, yes, he will. He will, absolutely. If it's not Putin, it's going to be his successor. Maybe there's a greater than Putin to come. But absolutely, those nuclear weapons are going to be used. And the world has a right to be jittery. The world has a very, very absolute right at a time like this to be worried about these things, because that sixth sense. Remember, brother, I'm speaking about going to India and how before the great earthquake came in India, all the farmers and that saw the birds coming. They were making their nests in the walls, which are made out of stones, and all the birds were flying into the trees and the cows were getting away from the walls. And the next day the earthquake came. There was a sixth sense inside of them that they sensed, and they realized that, hey, something's coming. And friends, that's what people are starting to feel inside of their souls now, that, wow, this world can change so suddenly. You know, we thought COVID might have shaken the world. Remember, we saw from Amos that when God shakes the nations, he shakes the nations before he judges them, because he delights in mercy, not in judgment. He wants to shake people out of their false refuges and shake people to realization that they're trusting in the wrong things. Now, COVID didn't seem to have done the full job. So now comes another birth pain immediately after that. And we find it's a shaking in the political realm. It's not a pestilence this time, it's the sword. You know, so there's different aspects that God can use as a temporary judgment to shake the people, to say, wake up. And if anybody can just pay attention to that sixth sense, that uneasiness inside of their soul, and follow it in the right direction, it'll bring them into the refuge of Christ. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to hide ourselves in Him in these kind of times. Now, others will go to alcohol. Others will go to the psychiatrist. Others will try to laugh it off. But it's a warning deep down inside of the souls of people that God speaks through these events. There's a voice behind these things, the voice of the sign. And people are really, really sensing that, wow, this year is really, really makes people uneasy. Many people are very scared because prophetically, Russia's going to use their nuclear weapons. Okay, so if you place ourselves, here's the rapture. So immediately after the rapture, we get into the great tribulation. So the next major event to take place is the rapture, which is the catching away of the bride, Christ coming to take his people into the secret place before he pours his wrath upon the earth. And then there's three different elements I'd like to have a look at of this nuclear threat in the great tribulation, according to prophecy and according to the Bible. We won't be able to search out all the scriptures today. If anybody wants to go deeper, let me know. We can do it another time. We can go and show this more scripturally, but I'm just passing over the things pretty quickly today. So after the rapture, now I've put three different instances here now of nuclear weapons. And the very first one is America. Now, we had a look just now at Brother Ram's third vision. Communism, Nazism, fascism. Yeah, this is the seventh vision, 1932. The seventh vision, the seventh thing, the last thing to happen before the coming of the Lord, before Christ comes to rule and reign on earth in the millennium. It says the last and seventh vision was wherein I heard a most terrible explosion. And I turned to look and saw nothing but debris and craters and smoke all over the land of America. So we can see, friends, this is typed in Revelation, in Genesis 19, by the burning of Sodom. You'll find Abraham and, you know, the body change and the promised son and then the burning of Sodom. That's what it's typed by. So we can see something's going to destroy America like that. That's going to be a nuclear war. That's going to be nuclear weapons. Who's going to destroy America? Who has the weapons? Europe doesn't have many nuclear weapons. It's going to be Russia. It's Russia that's going to do it. So when the world is worried, saying, but hey, this man, do you think he could possibly press the button? Well, we know that definitely he's going to press the button. The second one now, according to scripture, is Rome is going to be destroyed. Now, there's the quote, we'll get it on the scriptures. Now, if you'll give me one more night, if God gives, I'll prove to you that communism is working in the hands of God to destroy the Roman. He didn't finish with the Roman Empire, something like that. So just as much as God raised up Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and he raised up the Assyrian Empire, and he used them as instruments of judgment, God has allowed communism. God hates communism. God is against it. We saw it last week. God hates that godless system because it's persecuted Christians. It's persecuted the Jews. It's a godless atheistic system. But God has allowed communism to rise up and he's allowed them to have these weapons in their hands because they're going to be used as an instrument of God's judgment in the tribulation period. And God is going to judge Rome. He's going to judge mystery Babylon the great harlot seated in Rome. He's going to judge her. He's going to destroy her. And the vessel he's going to use to destroy Rome is Russia. That's why he says, and remember, I say this as God's prophet. The Russian Empire will drop an atomic bomb of some sort on the Vatican City and destroy it in 1 hour. That's thus saith the Lord. Now we'll see. He's not getting it from Norway. This is a very scriptural thus saith the Lord. We'll destroy it in 1 hour. Don't forget that 1 hour. We're going to see it in a few minutes here. But we can see in the tribulation period, at some stage in the tribulation period, America's going to be destroyed. At some stage, Rome's going to be destroyed. Oh, friends. So when people are worried about these nuclear missiles, It's the age that we're living in. This is the culmination of the age that we're living in. So here it is scripturally, Revelation 18, verse 8. If you have your Bible, you can read it yourself. You can read the whole of Revelation, the judgment on the whore, the judgment on Babylon, on Mystery Babylon, the judgment on Rome, seated on seven hills and so forth. We've done it many times before. Revelation 18, 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. So this is the time of the plagues. That's important. We'll speak about it in a few minutes. This is the time when God pours out the seven vials, the seven plagues of judgment upon the earth. So her plagues shall come in one day. This is Rome on seven hills, and the woman seated there, that false religious system in Rome, shall come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Wow. She's going to be utterly burned with fire. Her end is going to come in a single day when judgment, the plagues of judgment are poured upon Rome. Now, let's finish the next verse. Verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her. They'll be lamenting for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. My, they'll be weeping, and that when they see the smoke of this great system has been destroyed, the city, standing far off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. That's exactly what we saw, brother. I'm saying it should be destroyed. The Russian Empire will drop a nuclear bomb of some sort and shall be destroyed in 1 hour. He's taking it from the scripture here from Revelation 18. And when he was reading the scripture, when he was together with Brother Perry Green, just before he passed away, he had asked Brother Perry to read to him the book of Revelation, the read Revelation 18. And Brother Branham says, as soon as Brother Perry read this one, the kings of the earth, the peoples of the earth, standing far off for fear of her torment. He says, you see, it's the radiation. That's why they're standing far off. They're not going there to try to put out the fires. Why? It's nuclear. It's a holocaust, a nuclear holocaust. There's radioactivity. You have to stand far off because of the fear of her torments. But her judgment is come in 1 hour. So we can see, friends, according to scripture, the one on America, we can look at it another time, show it scripturally as well. But we can see in the tribulation period, we're going to see the judgment of Babylon, the commercial Babylon. We're going to see the judgment of the religious, the mystery Babylon. Its judgment, the vials of God's wrath are being poured out in the tribulation period, and it's nuclear war. It's a holocaust that takes place at this kind of a time. And it's Russia that does these things. Now, people straight away, okay, there I put a picture, there's Rome and there's a nuclear bomb. Now, if Russia bombs Rome, it's not just going to be an isolated to send a missile to bomb Rome. It's obviously part of a campaign. It's obviously part of a war. You know, I'm just going to bomb them. No, there's something taking place. This is now leading up to Armageddon. This is now World War III, whatever you want to call it. Russia is going to be used of God to execute vengeance on these nations that have forgotten God. And Rome is going to be burnt with fire. And this is what people are now fearing. They're saying, is this which is happening in Ukraine the precursor to this actually happening in Europe? They can sense it inside of themselves that judgment is coming one of these days. That if you're going to make a constitution, and people are going to say, but Europe was built on the Christian faith, and then they say, we don't want the Bible in our constitution. We don't want God in our constitution. And they make the European constitution cut out all the history of Christianity. Friends, and all of the Sodom things which they bring, the laws of Sodom and that which have taken place, you're not going to be surprised to find the burning of Sodom is going to come one day. You're not going to be surprised to find that the sword is going to be visited now in the time of the plague. So that's why Russia, friends, this isn't going to be the end of it in Ukraine now. We don't know how much pause there will be, but as we break through into the tribulation period, past the rapture, we're going to find it's not going to be the place that you want to be, this world. Okay, so the final one then, the final nuclear holocaust is obviously Armageddon itself. when nations will destroy themselves. And that's Revelation 16, 16. It gathers them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. And that's now when Christ has to come down and he steps down, destroys the beast and his armies and so forth, saves Israel. And then we're into the millennium kingdom now. Now Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years. So, you know, there's these instances now in the tribulation period, saints, where we can see that all of these missiles have been stored up for a purpose. Man destroys himself. God doesn't have to destroy man. Man's going to destroy himself, exactly as Brother Rem said. Okay, so when? Now, obviously, saints, this has got to be these nuclear missiles and stuff. I don't have time tonight, but I could show you from questions and answers 64, where Brother Rem goes deeply into this in a masterful way. And he shows, when will this be? And he goes to show it's beyond the tribulation, the rapture, because he will never judge through the blood. God will never pour, I mentioned it last week, will never pour judgment out when there's the blood. Let me give you a few examples. We don't have time to get into it much this evening, but yeah, look at the first example, the mercy seat. As long as there's blood on the mercy seat, it's a mercy seat. Take off the blood. When the cleansing of the sanctuary, it becomes the judgment seat. That's when there's thunderings and lightnings and hail and all these things that take place, which you see in the tribulation period. You see under the sixth seal, the judgment seal. There's no more blood. So as long as the blood of Christ, the redemptive blood of Christ, is still in this earth among the Gentiles, we're not going to see any major escalation to this. Yeah, we'll see wars and rumors of wars, like we said last week. But remember, Jesus said the end is not yet. These are the beginning of sorrow. So this could cause a lot of headaches, what's taking place. Friends, already we put in oil into our tank at home, heating oil, 2 days ago. Last time I bought it, it was £295 for 900 liters. I almost fainted when they gave me the bill this time. £644. I couldn't believe it. It more than doubled. Wow. So I went down to pay the man, to pay it off yesterday. And I said to the man, I said, I cannot believe it's gone up so much. He said, it's good you bought it yesterday. It was 644. Today it's 690. Friends, wow. And then on the news today, they were saying that oil, crude oil per barrel, has got up to $112 a barrel today. It's the first time for so many years. And the economist on the news at lunchtime was saying, there's nothing to stop it hitting $150 a barrel with this war going on and these sanctions upon Russia. Now imagine what that's going to do to the price of fuel. Imagine what that's going to do to heating oil, friends. The repercussions of this, you know, this is times of stress. This is times of strain coming upon the earth. God is shaking the nations. Oh, friends, what's going to stop it? You know, you just look at where these things are going. And once your oil goes up, your fuel goes up, everything goes up because everything has to be transported. Everything has to be manufactured. Everything has to be shipped. So just everything goes up and you can really see where we start heading into times of trouble. You know, that's all in the Lord's hands, friends. But I just wanted to show that, you know, these are troublous times we're living in. But this mercy seat now. Now, where is the blood of Christ now in the earth? You are the representation of the blood of Christ, the redeemed of Christ, the purchase of his blood. As long as his bride is on the earth, not a single nuclear missile will fall. As long as his bride is still here. But once he takes the blood, he takes those that are washed in the blood, those that have the token, the blood of the Lamb, once they are taken out of the way at the rapture, now there's no more blood upon the Gentiles. Now he can pour forth his wrath. Now the vials can be poured out. I put the second picture. There's Lot coming out of Sodom. Even Lot, remember, the angel said, hasten thither, come quickly. We can't do anything. We can't burn the city as long as you are in here. And even Abraham, he knew that revelation. He says, Lord, even if there's 10 righteous, surely you won't destroy. And the Lord says, no, he says 20 righteous, 30 and so forth. The Lord says, even if there's 20 righteous, 10 righteous, I won't destroy the city. Can you see, friends, how God esteems his anointed. He esteems his people, holding back the wrath of God because his people are still on earth. And he'll never pour judgment through the blood. And that's proved by the next one, the Passover. The death angel couldn't pass over the blood as long as there was blood on the door. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You know, the death angel couldn't enter into those homes because there was, we could take Rahab and all those different examples as well, but he'll never judge through the blood. And now the blood of Christ is still here in his people. The life of Christ, the token, the anointing of God is in his people. So in order for him to pour out his wrath, he's going to have to take his people out of the way, Psalm 27 and so forth, hide them away for a little while until his wrath is overpassed. And I put one more example, the number 16. There's Aaron. Remember, he ran in the midst of the people. He represented Christ, a representation of the priesthood with the blood in his censer. And he stood between the living and the dead. And the death angel that was commissioned to slay without mercy couldn't pass over Aaron to the people that were behind him because of the power of the blood. That blood would have to be removed before the death angel could have continued on his slaughter. So you'll really see why we say it, friends. You want to make sure you go and listen to your token message again, and you make sure that you've applied the blood inside of your soul, that you have an up-to-date experience with Christ, and that, you know, you've given him your life, you've given him your heart, you've laid everything upon the altar. You've given your life to him for his glory and his service. And he's come and he sealed you away with the Holy Ghost. He's come and sealed you, washed you, and baptized you under his blood with the Holy Ghost. Because, friends, that's what it takes to make it into the rapture. Many foolish virgins will be left behind. And, friends, we don't really want to be among them. Okay, so I just wanted to show that. That's what holds this entire thing back, is there's still grace to the Gentiles. There's still blood on the mercy seat. You know, it's coming to an end. The days are short, friends. But that's what holds back this man from pressing that button today. So the big question everyone's asking, could Russia invade Europe now? You know, is it going to spill over now and come out of Ukraine and spill over into Europe? And this is what they're fearing. Look, this is Russia's plan. This is what this graphic top left. I got it from a newspaper where they were showing that the Russians a few months back were boasting they could take the Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, in 3 days. And that's obviously what they want next. If you go and study the life of Putin, he was the head of the KGB, the FSB. He was deputy to Boris Yeltsin, who was the president after Gorbachev. Then came Yeltsin. And then Yeltsin handed it over to him. And Putin always said the greatest catastrophe in all history was the collapse of the Soviet Union. And he designed, he said, my whole ambition is to restore the glory of the Russian Empire, the Soviet Union, once again. And what did he lose? What, when Gorbachev opened things up in the 1980s, the Berlin Wall fell, then Ukraine became independent, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, all of these countries, Czechoslovakia became Czech, and Slovakia, Serbia, all these different countries, Yugoslavia broke up into different pieces. Everything was rewritten quickly after. One day we'll explain why. But these are the things that he wanted back. He wants Ukraine back, and he wants the Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. Those are the three. And they say, after Ukraine, that's next. And that's why the Lithuanian people are very anxious now. And if you've been watching your news, you find NATO has, America sent a lot of troops, and Britain and so forth, and airplanes and that, to station them full-time now in those three Baltic states, just to show Putin, don't you come and play that game here. Because they've seen what he's capable of doing in Ukraine. Now they're worrying about the Baltic states. So could he invade these Baltic states? Would he do such a thing like that now? Well, this little symbol, can you see the blue map here? Those are all NATO bases in these countries. Now that's the difference now between Ukraine and the Baltic states. Ukraine is not a member of NATO. Here's NATO. I was asked to, somebody asked me, please can you explain what is NATO? NATO is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's all these blue nations. It's America, it's Canada, it's Iceland, Greenland, It's Norway, Britain. It's not Ireland. Ireland's not part of NATO. But it's France, Portugal, Germany, Spain, carrying on. Then Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia. Turkey is a member of NATO. You can find it if you go and have a look on the web. But here's Ukraine here. It's not a member of NATO. That's why Putin could invade, because all NATO treaty states, they are signatories to a convention. You attack one nation of NATO, everyone must come to your defense. So somebody touches you, I'm going to sort them out. So if Putin decided now that he's going to go in to take any of these nations here, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, these are NATO countries. It's totally different than Ukraine. That now triggers war. Now we're on our way now to Armageddon. Now we're into the tribulation period, the third woe. You know, the third woe cometh quickly and so forth. So that's why, to me, I don't think he's going to do that now. I think that's going to be the other side of the rapture. Who knows? But that's going to cause absolute warfare, because all of these NATO nations are going to have to pour their troops in and now be openly at war with Russia. That's why when they're asking Ukraine, the President Zelensky is asking, saying, please, can't you enforce a no-fly zone over Ukraine? The people are saying, we can't, that we can't do that, because we'll have to send NATO planes into Ukraine to enforce that, which means we'll have to fight against the Russians. And nobody wants a world war at this time. So that's how Putin had the boldness to take Ukraine, knowing it's not a NATO state. And Ukraine has applied to be a member of NATO. And that is a condition that Putin is saying. He's saying, no, that was one before he invaded. We want guarantees that Ukraine will never join NATO, because that's his big nightmare. Because once they join NATO, he couldn't do this anymore without incurring the wrath of America, Canada, Germany, and Britain, and all of these nations against him. So now you already see that that's why NATO is such an important element in this entire end game that's going on. That's why he's invaded Ukraine. So that's NATO. It's those blue nations, North Atlantic. But now, this is the real scripture. Revelation 7:1. Why these things will take place after the tribulation. After these things, I mentioned it last week. After these things, I saw four angels, yeah, standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the winds of the earth, yeah, the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on any sea, nor on any tree. Now, this is obviously symbolic. The winds represents wars and strife. That's what it always is. The four angels standing on the four corners, north, south, east, and west. This would be a world war, global war. There's strife upon the sea. The winds are blowing. There's potential for this to become a world war, to take things to Armageddon. And these angels are commissioned, hold back those winds. Don't let things go too far, because redemption's not yet finished. The servants of our Lord have not yet been sealed on their foreheads now. You know, so Satan can only operate according to divine permission, a divine decree. He has limits, he has boundaries and parameters. And this side of the rapture, he doesn't have unlimited jurisdiction. After the rapture, the kingdoms are delivered into his hands for time, times, and half a time, for 3.5 years. He now becomes the full God of this evil age, whereas now there's boundaries and restrictions. Like in your life and mine, Satan has to work with divine permission. So these wars, this great Armageddon, this great global cataclysm that will take place, the angels of Revelation 7:1 are holding those things back, keeping things within measure, keeping things within the boundaries that they're allowed to go. And why are these angels holding back the winds? Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. The servants are always the Jews. And you can read it. It's the 144,000, that chapter, they get sealed. There's Moses and Elijah. That's the tribulation period coming now to Israel. And Israel will come in, and all the prophecies of Romans, when Paul says the original olive branch will be, you know, the wild olive branch, the Gentiles will be cut off, and the original branch, Israel, will be put back into the stock, back into the tree, once again, the olive tree, and the Redeemer shall come out of Zion. And then they'll look upon him whom they've pierced, Zechariah, and say, where did you get those wounds? You know, Joseph will reveal himself to his brethren, and all the prophecies that will take place when 144,000, Isaiah 65, a nation shall be born in a day. In a single day, they'll be born now, come to Christ. That Pentecostal message, Pentecostal experience that Moses and Elijah will preach to them. And you'll find that 144,000 will be sealed with the Holy Ghost. And then those angels will let go, those four winds, and then things get out of control. And nothing's going to stop it after that, because he sealed Rahab under the token. He's now taken his bride to the palace. He's revealed himself to his brethren. And now the war can go. Now the nuclear missiles can fall. Now all those different things can take place in Europe and wherever it's going to be during that tribulation period. But there's a divine until there, till we have sealed this. And so Putin can only work within boundaries and parameters now. He doesn't have unlimited jurisdiction. So now is the time of birth pains as we come to a close. So this side of the rapture, it's birth pains. It's the shaking of the nations. Everything's within measure. It's now judgment with mercy still. You know, we're living in the days of mercy and judgment. It's not just pure, undiluted wrath, which is going to be poured out in the tribulation period. But now there's still mercy, there's still grace, there's still the voice of God behind these plagues, the voice of God behind the sword, the voice of God behind the famines, and you know, nature taking a tumble, and all this climate change, and the floods and the hurricanes, and all the things that are taking place. Creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So this side of the rapture, everything is in measure. Everything is within boundaries and parameters that have been divinely set. These are the beginning of sorrows. Now these birth pains are getting closer and closer together and getting more and more severe. And this is going to cause a big economic birth pain again, what we see happening here with these sanctions in Russia and this war in Ukraine. It's going to knock things again after the coronavirus. And it's just bringing the economies of the world to the brink so that at the rapture, they'll collapse. Sixth seal, Revelation 6, verse 1, there was a great earthquake at the opening of the sixth seal, the tribulation period. And then maybe the economies go down. And here comes the beast stepping in, and he sets up the economy of the beast. And like we were saying, when the brother was preaching the other day, that's when money fails, like it did in Egypt in the days of Joseph and so forth. You know, so you can really see that these things are building blocks, pieces of the jigsaw coming. But Jesus said, these are the beginning of the story, but the end is not yet. You know, the Lord is still calling his people. The Lord is still, you know, the bride is still laying in the presence of the sun until she becomes golden brown and the different things. God knows the time. He knows the hour when he'll shut that door. But friends, the other side now of the rapture, we now get the vials. You know, I get Revelations 15 and 16, the seven vials of the wrath of God, the judgments of God, which will be poured out without mixture. They won't be diluted in any way. It's just undiluted wrath. The sanctuary in heaven has no more got blood. The Lamb has come and he's taken his bride. Now it becomes the judgment seat. There's thunderings and lightnings and so forth. And now hail, and you can read it, all the symbols of it. It's judgment time, the sixth seal. The tribulation period, the great tribulation, is the judgment seal. When he purges the foolish virgin, he purges the 144,000, and he purges the earth for the millennial reign. That's what's going to take place. And there the angels will be pouring out. And that includes judgment on Babylon. And then Russia burns her, like, because she's a witch. You burn a witch with fire and so forth, you know. And you go and you read all the different things in the message about that. But you'll understand that the real fullness of this wrath, the fullness of this anointing upon this man Putin, and the anointing upon the beast and so forth, it's being held back until. But God is going to take his people out of the way first. And that is the great hope of the believer. But don't forget, in the Philadelphian church age, Brother Ram said, it is in the midst of a time of great trouble that Jesus comes. That's the rapture that he's speaking about. You know, so we're heading into troublesome waters, saints. We want to make sure that Jesus is in the boat. Is Jesus in your boat in a real way? Because you're going to need Jesus in your boat. You're going to need Jesus in your home. Now, those believers now, look what's happened to believers, friends. Just, you know, a couple of thousand kilometers away from us. They're just overtaken by calamity, overtaken by war. They've left everything behind. Many are fleeing, just like Jesus said, flee to the mountains. Those that are out of the city, don't turn back. Just flee to the mountains. I mean, wow, we never thought we'd be seeing, you know, in a measure, in our age, these things happening even to believers. After the Bible study, I'll send a whole lot of pictures and things that I've received from different believers today concerning the believers in Ukraine. And you'll see them, oh, friends in the basements now. And, yeah, and you see, oh, my, places there's no water and stuff like that. Oh, friends, but Jesus is faithful to his people. That we just want to make sure at a time like this that Jesus is in the boat. Did you have a real living experience with Christ? That's the mode. Let's take heed to these things that are taking place around us. But it's going to be in a time of great trouble that Jesus comes. Now, I might just skip this and get on to it next time, since Gog and Magog versus Armageddon. I'll get on to that one maybe next time. But I'll finish off with this. Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. Let's read this as our final scripture. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ, this was when he was prophesying of the end times, when he was prophesying about his second coming. He says, and take heed to yourselves. So he's saying, watch yourselves. You know, don't just relax and just live a life like nothing is ever going to change. Take heed to yourselves. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. So if you put it into modern day English, it says, don't let your heart be filled with foolishness, gluttony, drunkenness, you know, just you know, the entertainments of this life. And he says, and the cares of this life. So that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Oh, friends, it's going to come as a snare. You know, a bird, when it just starts flying, it's not expecting anything. It thinks everything's going fine. It gets caught in a snare. And now it can't get itself out. The Jews were caught in a snare in the Second World War. They couldn't get out of Europe. Look at believers in Ukraine now, caught in a snare, surrounded, and it just came suddenly upon them. And many of them can't leave the cities that they're in. Now we know the Lord will protect his people. He'll watch over them. But friends, well, what did Jesus say? As a snare, not upon just upon Ukraine, but it's going to come on all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. That's going to be in the tribulation period. Wow, it's going to come. And he says in verse 36, watch ye therefore. What is it to watch? Watch and pray, he'd always say. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Keep oil in your lamp. Keep your blood fresh upon the door, saints. Don't let other things be the most important thing inside of us. There's no time to allow other idols upon the throne in seasons like this, but watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So, saints, I hope that's answered some of the questions that were asked, made a little bit clearer, just to try to put a little in context. Now, friends, concerning prophecy, concerning how everything fits together, you know, some of it we, in the tribulation, we have to presume a little bit, have certain scenarios. Maybe next time we'll look at them, how it could possibly unfold itself. But I think the things we've looked at today are pretty sure and pretty steadfast. I think there's no, you know, conjecture very much in the things we've been having a look at. And that's what I wanted to do today, to try to say, this is what's taking place. Could it spill over into Europe? It could in a measure. Could it spill over into another country? Of course it could. You know, it's wars, rumors of wars. Is it going to affect people? It's already affecting us. It's affecting precious people that we know. You know, we're trying to assist and help them any way that we possibly can. But friends, let this be a wake-up call. If coronavirus didn't wake you up, to realize how quickly this world can change, that this world should not be your home because we're just passing through, that time is filled with swift transition. Nothing on earth unmoved can stand, that we need to hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's seek him at a time like this while he may yet be found. Let's watch and pray. Get oil in your lamp. Make sure you trim your lamp. If your lamp has been getting carboned up and not shining the light the way that it should, it's lamp trimming time once again. because God has done great things in the realm of the prophetic and our day in the midnight cry. But now we see it starting to manifest the spirit of the last days, manifesting itself in the plagues and the pestilences, and manifesting itself now in the sword, the war, and all of these other judgments that are coming in a measure. This side of the rapture, it's judgment in measure, mixed with mercy. The voice of God speaking in his judgment. The other side of the rapture, it's judgment without mercy. So while there's yet mercy, seek mercy. If you don't know him, saints, now's the time to know him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pray and look unto thee upon this day to ask your grace upon each and every one of us. Lord, we especially upon this night pray for them that have been caught up, Lord, in a nightmare, something that just suddenly came upon them, Lord. And Father, now their lives have been turned upside down and some are fleeing. And Father, they don't know where to go and don't know what to do. And Father, some they're looking to you for their daily provision, for your grace and mercy to minister the things that they need and the straitened situations that they are. We pray your blessing upon each and every one of them, Lord. Your hedge of protection around your people, your provision upon them, and even upon the poor people of Ukraine. Father, in those cities, and Father, the men trying to get out but not allowed to leave the country, but having to join the army to go and fight against such a godless force, such overwhelming force, Lord, of Father, great, great convoys of vehicles encircling the cities, and Father, cruel, heartless men in control of these things. But Father, we know that your eye is always upon your people. So may you watch over them, we pray. And Father, help us to hear your voice in these things, Lord. Help us just to take a little bit of a step closer, Lord. Help us, Father, to take the blood and apply it fresh once again where the blood's been coming off the door. Help us, Lord, to make sure that there's oil in our lamps, Lord. And Father, that we walk with you in these kind of days and these kind of times. Help us to watch and pray and bless every person, anybody that's here listening tonight that doesn't know you the way that they should. I pray even now, Lord, that your invisible hand, Father, the hand of your grace will just knock on the door of their heart, that, Lord, you'll draw near to them and that you'll persuade them, Lord, and they'll just make a full surrender to you and just allow you to take over, Father, to take the throne, to guide them and lead them, that you will be the captain in the boat as we enter into stormy times. Father, that is our desire. Bless our fellowship for the remainder of this evening, we pray. Any questions, any discussion that we have, you guide us and lead us, Lord. Instruct us and teach us and be glorified, we pray, as you bless your people. We thank you for this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. Thanks, Gigi. Any questions, saints? Any observations there? Anybody like to say something?
Brother Andrew.
Yeah, Brother Georgie.
I was in Lithuania, yeah?
Yeah.
And I like what Brother Dima said. He said, hey, you know, we kept hearing Putin was going to attack. He was going to attack. He said, my father went to Ukraine. Everyone went about their business. Yes. Not thinking anything, you know, like you were saying about, will he press the button, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, like to think it's happened. You know, that's what the demo was saying. They were saying, hey, it's happened. And then he said, we had such a heavy load of COVID. And we thought, now we can take a breather, you know. And then, this brother, COVID was like, it was like just a scratch on the back compared to what's happening now. Like you said, look, the cost of your oil, you know, how much it's costing, cost of living, everything is just going to skyrocket. You know, we will feel the effects of Ukraine.
Yeah, bro. We'll have to put on a second pair of socks the way it's going, bro.
Thank God the summer's, the spring's coming.
I was praying for hot summer. I said, Lord, please, we need a hot summer this year because this is tough. But it's the signs of the time, saints. There's a voice behind it. And I think that's the key thing. There's the sign, the Bible says, and the voice of the sign. And I think, you know, the signs were there all the time. But it's amazing with us, with people. It's just human nature that we, you know, if you don't have a wicked heart, it's hard for you to understand how somebody can have a wicked heart. You know, so when all the other people are looking and saying, but hey, surely this guy's not going to invade. You know, but inside of his heart, he'd always made up his heart to invade. You'd have to have the same spirit as him and have the same hard heart to be able to understand that kind of thinking. And I think that's why it takes so many people by surprise, is that they can't, like with Hitler, they couldn't believe. You know, the Western nations in the 1930s, why they appeased Hitler so much, they just 20 years before that lost a whole generation of sons and fathers in the trenches of the First World War. They couldn't believe somebody would want just 20 years later to take Europe back into war again. Yet Hitler was determined to do it. Yeah, yet a rational thinking person would think to somebody, surely nobody will take us to war now. But friends, he was plotting it from within 6 weeks of becoming chancellor in 1933. He was building concentration camps. You know, he knew what he was. He had written it 1919 in Mein Kampf, My Life. He went and told exactly what he would do, how he had killed the Jews in that. But it's just like, you know, we can't understand wickedness and evil like that. And maybe it's a good thing. But what we really need is to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. You know, like the Christians in Jerusalem when the Romans came against them. I mentioned it the other day in the morning manner. In 67, 68 AD, Jesus had said, when you see Jerusalem compassed by armies, flee to the mountains. If you're out of the city, don't even go back in the city. Just head out. And the Romans came under Vespasian first and they surrounded Jerusalem. And then there was some rumor of war and he withdrew a little bit. And then he sent Titus. In that little gap, when they stopped encircling the city, the Christians all headed out. According to you know, the first century historians, they say every Christian, there wasn't a single Christian caught in Jerusalem because they discerned the sign of the time. And when the opportunity to get out came, they recognized what the political sign was, the Romans surrounding them, and they headed across the Jordan River. They went across into to Pella, and they found a sanctuary and a refuge there. So I think that is the really important thing. Brother Greg, do you want to say something, bro?
You see, brother, obviously all this... Sorry, I'm in my car. A lot of those things kind of with the Putin, obviously, he's flying, people, you know, saying his, you know, like story. And I really like... One lady was saying kind of nice summary of his life, like very short one. And yeah. I think I kind of what she said, what I you know noticed, yeah. When he had his martial art teacher, you know, he was driving one time with him, and he did something so dangerous, and that reason the normal reason people will just never do it. He was driving, and he just did a very dangerous maneuver, opened the window, and a man with a hay or something was going. That's Putin saying in his book or something. So he opened the window and grabbed that piece of hay and just, you know, and the other, his teacher said, he given out to him badly. He said, why you did this? Yeah. He said, simply because hay smelled nice, you know? So that just shows a man who, I believe God allowed those things to happen because nothing takes God by surprise. True. And I think he raised the Pharaoh, and I think he raised that man with that sense of, he don't feel sense of a danger. So when he said that man, the BBC guy, he said, will he press the button or something? I think he's a man who don't reason like other normal human being would reason because he don't feel fear, if that makes sense.
That's right, brother. That's right. Like I'm saying, you'd have to be in the same spirit as him to understand him. Yeah, you don't want to be in the same spirit as him. That's the sure thing. But yes, brother, that's a very good point that you're saying. You'll find with these kind of people, like we're saying, the similarities. Hitler rose up because of the economic situation. There had been the Great Depression at the end of the 1920s. You know, the German, the Deutschmark was worth nothing. You know, you always hear the jokes about the guy would take a wheelbarrow full of Deutschmarks to go and buy a loaf of bread. And the guy's okay, I'll take the wheelbarrow. You know, so he wouldn't even want the money. So, and my grandmother and grandfather, my mum's father and mother, they fled Germany when they were young in the 1930s because of Hitler and moved then in those days to southern Rhodesia. Yeah, but my grandfather was Swiss German and my grandmother was German, but they left because it was so hard. But when Hitler rose up now, he took all authority into his own hands. Now, he stopped free elections and everything, and he fixed the economy. He got the factories working, got people busy. Everyone said, hey, this is great. But the cost that there was for it, and that's what Putin did as well. After the collapse of the Soviet Empire, the economy collapsed, you know, long lines for sausages. Remember, you used to always see those things. And he stepped in now, and people gave away so much rights and authority to him because they were so desperate for money. They were so desperate for security, jobs, and food. And now once you give somebody like that authority, you know, I mean, like all of the newspaper editors that wrote against him, they died. I mean, you go and see the history of him. All of the opposition leaders, they were found, they embezzled money. They got long jail terms and stuff. You just don't stand against that man in this country. And at first, when the economy is going well and everything's going well, people are willing to say, okay, turn a blind eye to the wickedness. But, you know, there comes a time now when the man now starts to really show he is. And even the Russian people, and most of them, or a big portion of them, they're shocked. They can't believe to say, but hey, we're killing our Ukrainian brothers. I mean, these are our blood. This is our, with the Slavic race. You know, we're from the same ethnic group. But hey, you've given the man power like you did to Hitler. Now to take it away, who's going to take the power away from him? And now the man's got nuclear weapons. Which nations are going to go now and take the power away from a man who's got that kind of capacity that he can easily use those things? It's really a sign of the times we're in the last days. Absolutely.
You see, I have a question. That was a story kind of to just maybe I put a point across. But before I put the question, I have my wife, she went to the hospital with Noah, just some kind of checkups, some things. And she said to me, say, Greg, because we're planning to go for holiday in end of March to Poland for 1 week. And she said to me, say, Greg, is it safe to go to Poland? I said, yeah. I said, why? She said, I was walking and two women was walking in front of me. And they said, you heard what happened? They said, yeah, you know, this. And one of them said to the other, Poland is next. Yeah.
But Poland's a member of NATO, like I'm saying, Brother Greg. So, I mean,
I explained that to her. I said, listen, if they touch us, they touch the world. So I said, me, I'm not worried because maybe Polish army is not the strongest, but they have, you know, other parts that will fight. But the question I have quickly, brother, maybe I missed something, but where that squeeze will fit in? Maybe you will say, maybe you did say, and I missed something somewhere. Where the squeeze fit in with all this, what you just said for now? Because the squeeze, the way how I understand, should be the kind of final quickening, final.
Yeah, true. Well, the squeeze is just before the rapture. I mean, but if you ever look, there's already, things are already squeezing in a way. But like when it comes down to religious persecution, when you'll be persecuted for what you believe in, that's the other dimension. We're looking at the political dimension. That's now the spiritual dimension. You know, that's the beast and his system, which will be destroyed by Rome. But now we're just looking at the vessel that God will use to destroy the beast in the tribulation period. But yes, that's the World Council of Churches and all that kind of stuff. That's, remember, separate. We looked at that one there before. Yeah, we're just speaking on the other side. This is the political side of things now. Like you find the church ages, you find it's the physical people, it's Pope Gregory, and it's this guy and some, you know, big leader of France. But the seals is the spirit behind it. You know, so you find there's the spiritual dimension of the Antichrist in our age, but there's also this natural manifestation, brother, in communism and so forth. And they're going to clash in the end. You know, that's where the big, big clash comes in. The one will destroy the other. But yeah, that's the squeeze is just before the rapture, brother. But you know, I think, like happened in Zimbabwe when the economy collapsed, you know, it's a measure of a squeeze already in certain places. And look what's happening in Ukraine now. It's a measure of a squeeze. And it's like things fall apart, and you know, people have to really exercise their faith in that. You know, just life takes a turn, and then the Lord reveals himself in the midst of his people. You know, that's really what it's all about, bro.
Because you see, brother, it's like we will not be able to, like, you know, worship as we do. Like, we will not be able to openly go to the church. The churches will be closed. So I'm just kind of wondering how, it's not like how close we are. I'm just more like wondering, because with all this, what's happened so quick, if those four angels didn't hold wins, everything, like you're saying, would just bring to the complete end, because it's just matter of pressing a button, if that makes sense, you know? Yes. So I was just wondering, kind of in a kind of, because I think we are very, very close. I was just thinking when, because I was talking to my boss at work, and I said, look, according to the Bible and the way what I believe this, what's going on, will not go too far, because forced religious squeeze must come first to see if maybe what, you know, to shine or to sharpen, you know, some kind of things. So I was just thinking where that would fit in, where we are now, from now till.
Well, I think you've really hit it there, Brother Greg, is just to show how quickly things can change. Yeah, I think that is a good lesson from this, is that for prophecy to be fulfilled or for things to come to pass, we can sometimes look and say, ah, that's going to happen in a long time from now. But in just a couple of weeks, all of a sudden, what seemed to be far away is now flesh and blood. It's now playing itself out in the streets and the cities of a European country, in Ukraine, which wants to join the EU. So, and I think it's the same thing with these. In Russia, it took just a small thing for them to crack down on the Christians, to outlaw the message and all that. When I went to Russia, you're not allowed to be able to do everything in secret there. It just took a small little thing in due season to change everything. You know, it doesn't take much for things to change, for things to turn around. So I think it's in the political realm, we're seeing that played out before us now. You know, you apply that in the spiritual realm as well. Yeah, but everything is according to God's divine restraint, his timetable. He governs it. He knows when his people are ready, and he knows when everything's in place. Then he's okay. Satan, you can do what you want for a little bit now. But, you know, like with Job, you can't take his life and so forth. So, you know, I think the responsibility of a believer is to walk with him day by day. Now, what is my responsibility today? Then tomorrow, what is my responsibility tomorrow? Now, the mistakes of today, I liked what somebody said. The other day said, God was so gracious in making a day 24 hours that there was a day and a night, because every day his mercies are new every morning. Now, you might have a bad day today. It's okay. Go to bed, have a rest. You can start again tomorrow. You can say sorry for yesterday, learn the lesson, and tomorrow can be a good day. Imagine if God had made a day 1,000 years. Hey, imagine having a bad day. It would be tough. But God divided into manageable portions. You know, that's sufficient for each day is the trial thereof. He gives you work to do, and he gives you rest each day. And he gives you a new beginning each day. So you might have had a bad week. It's okay. There's a new day tomorrow. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And I think that's the principle. So tomorrow, let's walk with him like Daniel, like we said before, even with Jesus. Jesus made sure the trial found him in prayer. Jesus was on his knees in Gethsemane, rose up, and Judas came with the soldiers. You know, that was a real, real thing. He was caught, taken in the line of duty. Daniel continued praying 3 times a day as beforehand, and the soldiers came and arrested him when he was on his knees. That's the best way to let temptation find you. You know, is you in the line of duty, you watching and you praying, you walking with the Lord. Let everything else take care of itself. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just faithful like before. The next thing was walking into the trial. And David coming to the battlefield. You know, his father sending him with food for his brothers. He's faithful. He's in the line of duty. The temptation meets him in the line of duty. You know, just bump. And he's ready for it. And I think, you know, take no thought for tomorrow. I think we should learn about the things that are taking place now. If you've been getting away from the Lord, it's good to tighten things up. Now have a bit of circumcision of the excess flesh. You know, lay aside foolishness. I don't think we need some of those things now. Because like we said in the morning manner, the safest place in the world is in the center of God's will. There's saints in Mariupol now in their bunk, in their basements, and they're in the safest place in the world if they're in the center of God's will. You know, there's no place safer than being in God's will. You might be in Nazi Germany in the war. If you're in the will of God, you're in the safest place you could be. Being in his will, that's where we want to be. Anybody else before we finish, saints?
Pastor.
Sasha, thank you for that. I will read that. I know that one. We might cover that next week. Thanks, but it's a very, very good point you put there. But the King of the North and so forth. That's quite a long one. Yeah, but
it's good what you said there, because if you spiritually wise, it's the best time now. Last time I was speaking to one of the days during the week, I was speaking to a group of people in the kitchen that are not even Christians, but they are so fearful. But yeah. I said to them, look, I go back to my biblical prophecies. You know, I was telling people about the prophet that don't even know what I'm talking about, because everyone is in fear. Unless you spend your life on Facebook and watching movies and you just don't want to know what's happening.
Yeah.
But just the average people, different ages, young people at work, old people, when everyone is like in fear, but it's so nice now to use this opportunity to show them the word, to show them scripture. You know, you don't know where it leads to, but just like I like what you said there, as long as you're about the Father's business, all is well.
That's it, bro. Just, one day at a time. You know, you find Jesus, he never ever changed much when he was facing up to the cross. He just prayed more earnestly. Yeah, I mean, you really think of what he did. He just went and he prayed more earnestly at that time. But if you have to make big changes in your life when you're facing up to trial, I think we need to learn from that, that maybe the way you were living coming up to the trial isn't the way the Lord really wants you to be. And the grace of God, he brings us into situations. I liked what Brother Thomas said on Sunday when he says, you know, God allows you to go into situations so that you fail, so they can teach you how not to fail. You know, he puts you in situations, you get knocked down, he puts you back, you get knocked down, and you learn then, I'm not going to get knocked down next time. You know, so maybe you haven't been walking so close to the Lord and the crisis comes, it scares you, you get all nervous. It's okay. It's the grace of God. It's a warning. Yeah. But pay heed to the warning. Learn the lesson. Glean from it. Don't be like the man that looks in the mirror and he goes away and forgets what he looked like. No. Really take it to heart. Adjust what needs to be adjusted. Lay whatever needs to be laid upon the altar. And then the next time it comes, you're going to find, oh, there's going to be more of a quickening and more of a divine reality in your experience when the trial comes. And that's how the Lord teaches us as his children. And he's faithful, saints. Even when we are faithless, like we said, he is faithful, which is wonderful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You know, so he's working on us, friends. And what he's doing to the saints in Ukraine, they're going to come out with great testimonies again, like we said, but it's terrifying, some of the things. It's scary for the natural side or aspect of our human makeup. I mean, it's not easy going. We don't want to go through these things. None of us want to leave the nest when Mama Eagle says it's time to fly. But, you know, we like the comfort. And then all the comfort's taken away. But in the end, those little chicks realize this was the best thing that could have happened to me. I never would have flown if it wasn't for these circumstances. So all things work together for good. All things work together for good. One final one, if anybody has something since, others will finish off there. Yeah, but that's a really good one, Brother Sasha put there about thing, but it needs quite a bit of time to go through that one, right? Thanks to everybody else for their comments and so forth. Okay, Brother George, why don't you close for us in a word of prayer then, please, if you would. Saints, God bless you. It was really good to be with you this evening. Let's just keep on in prayer, stay close to the Lord. Let if the Lord lays people upon your heart that need help across in those countries there. Now, like I said, let us know. We'll try to coordinate our things together. If you have something you want to send straight to somebody, send it straight away. Because the people really, they have great and urgent needs there. So let's try to be sensitive to the Lord and may he use us for his glory. Brother George.
Father, we thank you so much for this night. Lord God, Father, how many more of these meetings will we have? Lord, have this within us that we want to live forever upon this earth. But Lord, as Brother Andrew spoke of his grandparents, Lord, Father, they're no longer there, Lord. They've moved on to another sphere, another dimension, oh God. Father, and even many believers in this day have moved on. And Lord, Father, Lord God, if we look in Ukraine and see what's happening, Father, it's a tough thing to comprehend. Lord, we're still trying to digest and soak it in. But Lord, Father, one thing that we know, when we go to your word, we have answers. When we, Lord, go to thee in prayer, we have answers. Lord, how you speak to us in dreams. Lord, Father, to comfort us at this time. For Lord, Father, the dangers that are ahead, O God. Father, Lord, precious Savior, we thank you for the wisdom tonight, the word that has been expounded unto us, O God. Father, Lord, precious Savior, we can, with this word, march the victors march. With the sword that you've given unto us tonight, we can win all battles, Father, as long as, Lord, Father, we keep our eyes even upon thee. We pray again, as prayer has been prayed for, even Ukraine itself as a whole. Father, Lord, the beatings they've taken, the bombings they've taken, the people that have been killed. Father, I dare to think that if I, Lord Savior, Father, here in Ireland, and there's jets flying over and bombs are flying left, right, and center. Oh God, Lord Savior, we pray your grace for those people, oh God. Give them strength, oh God. We pray that you'd calm the situation. But Lord, Father, we pray for the believers in dire straits, the tough times they're going in, Lord. As the pastor has said, tribulation has set in for those people. And Lord, Father, even in other various places, there's tribulation, Lord. But Lord Jesus, whilst we have breath and strength, help us to utilize what we can. It could be someone at work, could be someone in the shop. It could be, Lord Father, the next person that we speak to on the train, that Lord Father will accept, maybe attract, will accept maybe Christ. We ask your grace, give us wisdom at this time. And even these meetings that we have, Lord, how people flock to them and people speak of them, oh God. And people, Lord Father, are watching, Lord Father, and going back and listening, oh God. Deliver, Lord Father, those that thou hast called. Help us, Father. Give us your grace. Bless our pastor. Give him grace, virtue, strength. Restore strength unto him, Lord, and give him wisdom as we, Lord, look in excitement and in expectation for the next, Lord Father, fellowship, Lord. Bless everyone. Keep every home. Sustain us, Lord. As prayer has been made already for them in war, keep them, Lord. Even the brethren there in Russia, Lord, precious Savior, undertaking all. Give us your grace now and give us mercy as we pray for all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Brother George. God bless, saints. Have a good evening, saints. And may the Lord bless you. Good to see Brother Anton there. Brother Anton, God bless you, brother. And Sister Roseanne, God bless you there. I hope you're keeping well down south. You might be coming there in August for a wedding. I'll let you know, and then we'll come and pay you a visit. It'll be great. Awesome. Brother Anton, good to see you, brother. God bless, brother. Have a good evening.
Nice to see you.
Yes, brother. God bless you, brother. Keep us in prayer, brother Anton. We'll meet you soon. God bless everybody.